Yes, 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 yes. We back. We back. It's Thursday. We here. It's your boy, DJ Bobby Hustle, and my guy,
that Vato Capo.
Guaranteed to get your plug for $1 million and two Chevy Equinoxes.
Man, Equinox.
All right. They're good on gas, and you can send them around with all kinds of promo materials and save, cut your costs. You know, okay. Kind of like that Saturn View.
Thanks for convincing me on that, man. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Hey, man, we here, man. It's another Thursday. We're getting close to the weekend. If you don't know what AMP is, if you just click the link, just like, what is this thing? What is AMP? Well, AMP is Radio Reimagined, and the Audio Meds is currently the only known cure to insanity. And we got a dope show.
The only cure. That's right, man. Only. You already know, Bobby. Like you said, it's Thursday. And on Thursday, we always ramp up for the weekend. So we're going to beef up the playlist today. We're going to play some old school joints for Throwback Thursday. We got some new joints up for them. We got a special guest joining us today, man. So it's going to be super dope. We got some great topics of conversation, so I'm interested to see what our guest has to say about this topic, and also about or some of our listeners, hopefully they'll call in and chime in on what we're talking about today as well. But yeah, dog, I'm ready to get into this quick mix, Bobby.
Man, let's go, man.
It's Thursday.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio Meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man. That's that AZ Do or Die. Sugar Hill off the Do or Die project, man. Your boy AZ's doing his thing, man. He's on his European tour, man. Shouts out to him, man. It's the Audio Meds. It's your man's in there, DJ Bobby Hustle, and my Vato Capo, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, yeah, man. AZ is what I like about AZ, bro, is even though he's aged well. Like, you can't, even his new music, it's still dope. But you can't hear the difference in his voice. It's almost like him and Nas. Nas is the same way. Like, a lot of artists start aging and you can hear it in their voice.
Right.
Man, those two dudes, like, they're not aging. I don't know what's up. These dudes, I think they're not aging.
They're just aging gracefully. And it's like, you get better with age, man. You know what they say. The saying, I ain't going to say it. You know what, don't crack, man. But, you know, they doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? And AZ, he's one of those rappers some people forgot about. And it's like, you can't forget about, he's the whole alphabet, A to Z. I mean, like, come on, right? Son.
A to Z.
A to Z, man. I'm feeling good, Capo, man. I'm feeling great, man. You know how good I'm feeling, man?
How good are you feeling, Bobby?
Man, I'm feeling almost as good as your boy, Boosie Badass, man. I know he's staying in the news. He's staying in the media. If y'all ain't heard, man, Boosie is building an entire neighborhood for his family in his backyard behind his mansion. It's reported that he is building a neighborhood, a community in his backyard for family and friends to enjoy. There's been a video circulating around the internet about the progress. He's going to have luxury apartments and streets named after his children. The video also claims the neighborhood will also feature a massive pool, a basketball court, a movie theater, a tennis court, and more. That sounds like that neighborhood got a high-ass HOA payment.
Yeah, I heard that he's going to have the largest pool in Georgia.
Wow. Okay. Who was that that said they had the biggest pool that was beefing back and forth? It wasn't beefing, but they was comparing notes. Was it Yeezy and Drake? They said it was a while ago, because like, one of them was supposed to have the biggest pool. Then I think Drake bought a house with a bigger pool, and he was like, okay, your pool's bigger than my pool, so you're cool. And
pool,
I guess
pool wars.
Yeah.
The beef of rich people, right? Like, kind of like DJ Envy and Rick Ross going back and forth right now about these car show shit.
Right.
It's just ridiculous, man.
But you know what? That's the type of beefs I like to see, man. Those are the type of beefs I like to see. Beefs over stupid, dumb shit that people can laugh about and not die about.
Yeah, you know? I mean, even though Rick Ross did kind of take it a little far, man. He told Envy that he could get his seven kids, and he's like, I told the pool guys to not come today so you can get your seven sons to come over here and clean my pool. I was like, damn.
That is a hard hit.
Don't talk about people's kids, man. You know what I'm saying?
The kids and the grandmamas. You know what I mean? And if you don't know the mama, you leave the mama. And don't put the mama. You don't know my mama. If you know my mama and you hung out my mama, then I might let you slide. If you don't know my mama, you don't know my mama.
Nah, yeah, I was always one of those, man. Like, I fought so many people because they would make mama jokes and shit as a kid. Like, I was one of those guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't be talking about my mama, you know what I'm saying? And fucking, yeah, I always went that extra mile just because, you know?
Right. Do you remember that TV show, Yo Mama? It came out in 2006. It was a TV show called Yo Mama, and it was just people battling with Yo Mama jokes.
yeah, I remember that.
It's like, wow, that's classic.
Didn't they flip it and do a Tu Madre or something? Like, I remember that shit. No, it was the same thing. I think dude was just...
Was just saying it. Spanish, and he said it like that.
Same thing. That's just hilarious, though.
Absolutely, man.
What's up, man? Thursday, we got a great show today, man. We got some dope topics of discussions. We're going to play some dope music. We got a special guest joining us today. Dog, I'm excited, Bobby.
I'm super excited, man. So if y'all, like I said, if y'all just tuning in, man, make sure y'all hit that heart button. Show us some love, man. If you hear a song that you like, you know how we do here on Audio Mez on Amp. Tap that plus button, turn into a check, man. We're about to drop this record right here by my man, Spody, man. We got a dope guest that's about to come on, man. We're going to get into the topic of discussion.
Don't forget to jump in the chat, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, man. The chat's wide open. Jump in the chat. Tell us how you feel. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us a song we need to play. And get ready to call in. If you got some feedback on this topic of discussion today, or you want to ask our guest a question, chime in. If we got time, we'll take a call.
We'll take a call. So get your Google fingers together.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man, that's that Spody, man, on a mission off that God Bless the Child, man. Spody, man, Spody's dope, man. I've been following Spody for a little minute, man, and I definitely just like the vibe on him, man. But we got,
man, like I said, bro, there's a bunch of new artists that are popping up that are full of content, lyrical, but still bringing it in every other way that every artist wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're covering the board, man. So I applaud all these new artists. We're not here on Audio Meds. We do not discriminate. It's not about classic hip hop against new age hip hop or the new wave. We're not discriminating against anyone. If it's hot, if it's dope, if you are talented, we support you here, man.
If it's hot, it's hot. If it's not, it's not. I mean,
facts. It's that simple.
If it's hot, it's hot. It's not, it's not.
That simple, man. So, but Bobby, we got a special guest joining us today, man. So you got to excuse me because I'm excited. All right. I'm kind of hype over here, man. So I'm not going to waste any more time. All right. So today's guest not only served our country and is a military vet, but he served in the industry and put his work in for years. So you can call him an industry vet as well. He's started his own company, co-owns, and called Musicians Tailor. They're servicing artists. They're helping artists. And Bobby, I want you to understand, like, this is one of those guys that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, someone that you're doing business with knows him, or behind the scenes, you're bumping into him everywhere. And that's how I met this guy, is bumping into him everywhere. So I need y'all to make some noise for the homie, the one and only Chevy Reyves.
Yo!
Hit the mic. There we go.
Chevy.
Capo, what's good,
yes,
bro?
Sir.
What's up, man?
What's good, family?
Hey, man, I'm cooling, bro. Appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely, no man.
So we appreciate you taking time to come and join us, man. My bad, Bobby. Go ahead.
Nah, it's all good, man. I just want to know how I feel to be on top, man. Tell me.
I'm not on top yet, man. We climbing there, though. We getting there.
That's
absolutely
it,
man.
That's it. Yo, Chevy, and I'm like, man, all right, so there's one of those things, man. Like, you know, this industry is known for, people always say there's shady individuals within the music industry and you got to watch out. And there's a lot of snakes in this game. But there's also a lot of good people, man. And that's why we had to reach out to you, because you're one of those solid dudes that that I never hear anyone have anything negative to say about you, homie. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, hats off to you. Round of applause, because there's not a lot of that shit going on in the industry, but you're one of the good ones, bro. So shout out to you for that, homie.
Man, I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that. I just try to treat people how I want to be treated.
No Absolutely. Doubt.
It's the golden rule, man. It's the golden rule.
Right? Easy as that. If everyone could just do that.
Right. Don't overcomplicate it, man. Just treat people like y'all got the same mama. Or no, don't do that, because you might be fighting in the back. Just treat them how you want to be treated.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Man.
So talk to us, man. Because me and Bobby over here at Audio Meds, we like to call ourselves culture cultivators, right? So we like to feel like, you know, we've played a lot of different roles within the industry and the hip hop community, from fans to, you know, behind the scenes to everything else, artists, DJs, producing. Where does your passion for the hip hop come from?
Oh man, that's a good question. But my passion comes from just music, music from all around standpoint. Like I grew up, you know, from Mississippi, supposed to be the home of rock and roll and all that good stuff, the blues. So music, any kind of genre, jazz, rock and roll, blues, rap, hip hop, whatever you name it, I'm all for it, man. So my passion for it has always been there since pretty much day one.
Okay. So you're one of them guys that, like, you get into your car and there's no telling what the fuck you're gonna be playing when you ride.
Yeah, that playlist is crazy, man. Now I do have a playlist for certain people, like when I'm on the road or with certain artists, you know, certain thing they want to hear. But when I'm by myself, it is what it is. Whatever comes on, I'm vibing to it. We're finna ride out. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. I love that. I love that, man. Speaking of being on the road, where did you start off? Because like, you've been tour managing, correct? Like, you've been on the road being a tour manager. For some reason, I always catch you in the back of shows at some tour.
Yeah. So it actually started, I go back just a little bit. I ain't gonna give you a whole life story, but I just, you know, kind of walk you into that question. Okay. So I was in the military, got stationed in Germany, got in the little rap group that I was in. I ain't gonna say little, but it was big for that time. I gotta take that little word out, but it was big.
That's it.
Yeah, I heard y'all last night. I should have called on. I mean, yeah, I had a group called 4G2. It was a bunch of us over there. We did pretty good. Had a nice run. We had toured with a couple of people when they come over there. 6ix9ine Boys, Red Man, came over there one time. We didn't open up for them, but we was in the midst of that. So that led to me rapping. Then as I progressed in the military, it was starting to take away because I was active duty. So that kind of hindered a lot of things. So I had said to myself, hey man, if I ain't got no record deal by age of 30, I'm going behind the scenes work something else, right? Mm-hmm. So I started this company called State to State Mixtape, where I used to just get artists from everywhere, all over the state, put them on mixtapes and do shows and go from there. So that led to me driving, you know, putting the CD together. Back when we had CDs, driving state to state, selling them, finding new artists, putting them on and running it like that. So that's how I kind of got to where I'm at right now.
Nice.
Okay. Right. That's dope, man. That's dope.
Grassroots. That's that grassroots.
Right. That's what I was about to say. That's straight out the mud. Like, you've been getting it out the mud. So Chevy, man, so, you know, you said you moved to the back if you didn't get that record deal by 30. I get it. 30. And we always talk about the age gap. You know, and the ageism in hip hop and the stigma that we're trying to change. So 30 still young, because, you know, rappers is getting on at 30 soon, 34. But so with your company, the Musicians Tailors LLC, I know on here you say you got something called the MDMP, the Music Decision Making Process. So what is that?
All right. So when people start coming to us, you know, asking us about rollouts and things of that nature, it used to be called the military and because I used to be, but still use it. So I kind of took my military skills and just transferred over to the music side. So
okay,
that's that. So I mean, like, with the military and you transitioning into the music side, because I know in the military, one thing that you learn is a lot of self-discipline. Oh no, he froze.
Yeah, I think he froze a little bit. He must be in a bad signal area, or he had to slap somebody real quick.
But, said, hold up. Let me turn this shit off real quick.
Attention. But you know, but that's a good thing that you said right there, Capo, because that is true. The military does give you a lot of discipline that can be transferred into your other businesses. I've met a lot of people, know a lot of people, have relatives that are in the military and have been in the military, and majority of them, you know, have that discipline that's transferred over. Some of them are just straight party animals, and all they do is just get drunk.
I'm one of them. Not getting drunk and being the party animal, but my pops was in the military, and I think I took a lot of that discipline that he showed us growing up. And seeing him, you know, wake up super early and go run and do PT and all that stuff, like that stuff is things that I apply to my life every day now that when I was younger, I didn't even realize, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really.
Right. And you see it different as you get older. And it's like you don't apply. Sometimes it's not even applied directly. It's the theory behind it that you can translate to other stuff. Chevy, that's it. Yeah, bro. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. But
it's all good, man.
You probably had the best answer, too. That shit was, immaculate. He dropped so many gems in that 1 minute.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, so back to this MDMP, the music making decision process. Music decision making process.
Mm-hmm.
So break that down again.
Okay, yeah, once again, like I say, in the military, we had the... Okay, it's called MDMP, you know what I'm saying? So we just changed it to the music side of it. And we use that process to help artists. So if they come to us, we're like, hey, we want to go do this. We run it through that process. And if it works, if it fit, we'll go ahead and run with that. If it don't, we'll let artists know, like, hey, that's probably not going to work, but you can go ahead and try it yourself.
Okay, so it's almost like a SWOT analysis that you would use if you was running a project for a business, but you kind of, okay, yeah, SWOT.
Somebody corporate over there, all right.
Hey, man, you know about it, man, 20 years, man, you know how we do it.
That's it. Yeah, so okay. where did the musician Taylors come from? How did that whole thing come about?
All right, let me go back with that. So I'm going to give a shout out to my business partner, my family, Darrell Twin Smith. He has a company called Grind Entertainment Studios, has his own studio in Atlanta. So me and him kind of partnered up. We was actually on our way to Fort Benning one day, which is in Columbus, Georgia. And we was coming up like, hey man, how can we help these artists, man? You know, they come to us left and right, like, hey, Chevy, can you do this? Hey, Twin, can you do this? So we built the company, be like, okay, kind of like an artist development thing. And he came up with the name. He was like, man, we'll call it Musician Taylor. Like, we kind of customizing, helping these artists out, because every artist is different. You can't help the same. So we have to customize. That's where the MP thing come from. So we have to customize each plan with the artist so they can, we can make sure we helping them the right way.
Okay. Right. So Chevy, so you know, you got this music company and you help artists make the right decisions for their career. So which kind of ties directly into our topic of today, where we're discussing some of the top ways that artists can start making money today without a hit record. So independent artists, say you meet a client, independent artist comes to you. What is the process you take them through to get them to a point where they're fully functioning and their wheels are turning?
All right. Well, first of all, like I said, we have an initial meeting with them because this is, you know, I kind of been doing it for a while. So, and I'm pretty sure y'all been doing it a while. Y'all can kind of tell who's serious and who's not. So that's my first indicator. I have to find out, like, hey, you in this for the long run? Or you in just to, you know, because you're trying to have fun or it's a hobby? Like, we need to go ahead and nip that in the bud now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of helped, because you know how you would get along with people and you start pushing them, and then sometimes, you know, the self-sabotage come in, or they be like, ah, it's too much work, or I ain't think it's going to take this long. You know what I'm saying? But it happens. You know, people a lot of people not built for this. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's good to know that before you start. So we had an initial meeting, see where they at, meet them where they at, and then try to build from there. So once we figure out what they're trying to be and what their goal is, we help partner with them along the way. Now, I'm not one of those guys that like make a plan like, hey, here you go do it. That's why I'm on the road all the time. I'm the guy to be like, hey, let's go. We're going to go here. We're going to go see Capo them in Nashville. We're going to go see such and such in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of legwork with it. You know what I'm saying? So.
Okay, definitely. Okay. But that's the key, is definitely legwork. Like you said, a lot of legwork, getting out there, moving, connecting dots, networking in multiple markets, which I see you traveling all the time from market to market. Now, is that like, do you feel like it's important to be, which do you feel is more important, the hands-on grassroots in-person face-to-face conversations or that heavy online social media presence?
I think both are important, but like I say, when you're dealing with new artists, most of them don't have a budget to do mainly just online, you know what I'm saying? Or mainly go out a lot. So you kind of, like I said, that's where that initial meeting come from. Like, all right, so what you looking at? Well, yeah, we can go here. But then the online thing, of course, that's like a job within itself too, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have enough time to go, we hit the road and make sure you're doing the online presence as well? But both are important. But me personally, I like the boots on the ground.
Absolutely. I agree. Now, do you feel like it's possible for artists to not have a fan base or not have a huge following and definitely not have a hit record, but still be able to generate income off of their music?
Oh, yes. It's so many people that's kind of like making more money than me sitting at home. You know what I'm saying? You know, making money off of just streams alone or whatever. But because that goes, when you say hit, okay, what does that mean? Because we know somebody can have a local hit right there and be eating real good in the region, you know what I'm saying? Or they can go national and then, of course, international. But as far as a hit, I mean, it might not be a hit to us, but they might have a solid fan base where they, you know,
That's what I'm talking about, though, is not having that solid fan base yet. You know, a lot of the artists out here, they have extremely good music, right? Mm-hmm. But it's hard to find artists that have that complete package, right? That are talented musically, that have the energy and the grind, but also have the know-how and the fan base, right? Like, who can build that structure and that platform of supporters. I feel like that it's extremely rare. And, you know, you find a lot of times you find artists with one or the other. But that's what we're trying to discuss is today, is we want to talk about artists that may not have a hit or even a fan base yet. We're discussing ways that they can start generating immediately without that, right, Bobby?
Well, absolutely. And I think, well, I know that there are multiple ways that you can start generating revenue as a music creator, and musician, artist, and not have a huge fan base. Now, back to what you were saying, Chevy, it really determines on their end goal of their music career. Because if you just want to be the biggest artist in the world, then some of the things that you do will be more tailored to trying to build your brand, less trying to make some money. But if you just want to be able to make money doing your craft, there's a lot of different paths that you could take. Because, you know, right now it's all about the AI. So we jumped into GPT and we asked the GPT, you know, some questions, just to list out some of the things that you could do to make money as an independent artist without a hit record. And
I got a list of those. Yeah.
Right. And so like one of the things that it did, like, you know, there's the stuff that people automatically think about, and then there's the stuff that people be like, maybe I didn't think about that. Like, of course, the first one that everybody thinks about is merch. Yep. You know? Yeah. And so like with merch, you don't immediately have to have a fan base. A fan base is good, but if you know how to market and advertise online, you can start building that audience and a fan base with your merch, because you just treat it just like a product.
Right.
And then one of the other
another thing is, and I don't mean to cut you off, but another thing is for artists is to get creative with their merch, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we created something called Smart Merch, where you can scan the code from your shirt and get updates on music, right? So you can scan your shirt, you can get music. Say if you're going to release a video, you can scan the shirt a month later and get the video before it drops, or get the next single before it drops. Or if an artist is touring, they can scan it. And if you purchase this shirt, the Audio Med shirt from, you know, 3 months ago, we're going on tour, go scan it. You can get discounted tickets. There's all different types of ways. You just got to get creative with it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now, merch and having a product is definitely important and a good start. You know what I'm saying? Because it's branding. The branding starts at day one, of course. You know what I'm saying? So you branding yourself as an artist, you branding yourself, you know, as a businessman, businesswoman, you know. So having merch or having some kind of product is a good start. But at the same time, you know, the music kind of got to match, you know.
Facts. Yeah, because you have people out here that sell a gang of shirts, but people don't know who the fuck they are.
Right. Oh, and all the music ain't, like, you know, not appeasing, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, the merch dope, but the music ain't there, so.
Right, and that goes back to, you know, their end goal. Do they want to be the biggest artist in the world, or do they just want to make money online as a creator? You know, but merch is the low-hanging fruit. Yeah, so a lot of people, that's the first thing they think of is okay, I'm going to start me a t-shirt line, and I'm going to get me a cannabis brand. I'm going to do this. You know, and sometimes that takes a little bit of startup capital that you got. So maybe if you're an artist, an independent artist out here that you're trying to start earning some money today, and you don't have the capital to, you know, start a merch business, or do, you know, the relationships or the skills to design some merch. Another thing that the GPT spit out was music libraries. Now, with everybody and their mama being a creator, there's been so many different companies that came about, Artless Isle, SongGrid, a whole Epidemic Music, Epidemic Sound, lots of different third-party websites that source music from independent artists that they put on their platform that allow other creators to download the stems to use in their projects. And the creators get paid whenever people download those. And so, like, if you make dope music, but you don't really have a dope fan base or a hit record, you can always, you know, kind of use one of those platforms to sell your music, you know. And if you get, you know, a fan base on there of people that will buy your music to use in their projects, then, you know, you got a consistent stream of revenue.
Right. Nah, I'm with that. I was thinking more like that's kind of like old school ghostwriting almost.
Mm. And then that's another thing is ghostwriting.
Because that's what after when I told you, I said I didn't want to rap after 30, I started writing for people.
Mm-hmm.
Overseas, but I ain't had no hits over here. But overseas.
It worked for me overseas, though.
You know what I'm saying?
You got that overseas money.
That's the goal, lady. That's the goal. Like, everybody in America be like, man, I'm trying to get overseas, bro. I'm trying to get over to Tokyo, Africa, London, man. And it's like everybody in London be like, I'm trying to get to America. Man, New York, you see Atlanta. Like, everybody want to get where they ain't.
Kapo will tell you about South Korea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We could talk about that all day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like overseas, like when, and that's another thing too, that I know that's kind of off subject. I kind of don't understand sometimes, because I lived overseas a lot, when people be like, oh, they fell off or this and this. I'm like, man, just because you don't hear them in the States, they overseas probably getting a bag. They over there 2 months. was touring and doing shows, and they come back to America, they ain't got to work for the rest of the year.
who was it that said, Akon said he hasn't performed in the States for like, I want to say he said almost like 20 years or something. But he stays touring in like Europe and Africa, making like $100,000 a show and more, you know what I'm saying? Like, but people here in the States are like, oh man, he fell off, or you know, Akon, nah. Man, remember when Akon was hot, like his music, and what happened, you know? Like, nah, man, like that man is, even with a lot of like the boom bap rappers, the New York East Coast rappers, them dudes.
We just talking about your boy AZ. We just talking about AZ. Yep. He got Europe, a European Europe tour. He's going like 15 dates in Europe, and ain't no telling how much money he's getting for that. Just multiply by 15, like, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
He just came out on Jesus Set. And
yeah. Yep.
He did Soul Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and by the way, man, I want to tell y'all playlist is fire, man.
Appreciate it.
That's love, bro.
You ain't had to hit it with that A ball in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Had to come out swinging.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So, Bobby, what's another one on the list that is some ways that these artists can start generating income immediately?
All right. So, without a fan base, one of the ways that you can start, depending on your skill level, is being a session vocalist. Now, a lot of people, it's not quite ghostwriting, because being a session vocalist is a work for hire. So that means basically they pay you to come in and sing either lyrics that they've already wrote or whatever you do, but you get paid for that day, and then that's that. But, you know, if you can sing and you got some vocal, you got some pipes on you, and you need to make some money real quick to pay some bills, you can go be in a studio and be a session vocalist. Now, Capo, in Nashville, session vocalists run the town.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, that shit. But that's not so, and that's the thing is, like, that doesn't really apply to hip hop as much. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't, but it does. Like here in Atlanta, there's a lot of session vocalists that work with hip hop and R&B producers when they're pitching records. So sure. It's like, it does apply when you're in that particular side of it. So like if you're just an independent artist just trying to put out your own stuff, it may not apply. But in the circle of producers that are chasing placements, that yeah, applies all right. day.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's all day. Like producers are always looking for session vocalists to record the lyrics.
Yeah, but that's if you can get a placement. If you're not getting a placement, you're not getting paid.
Well, no, it depends on your situation, because like even with session vocalists that have a good sound.
I see what you're saying. They get paid to come in and just like producers right. will pay the singers, yeah, to exactly. come in and lay some vocals. Yeah.
So they can pitch it. So if they're doing working on the record for Beyonce, a producer might have a hook or something that he wants to lay down. And so he goes through his database of session vocalists, calls one up, be like, yo, I got this song. I want you to reference. They say reference. I want you to reference this song so I can submit it. And they'll be like, okay, I charge $250 a day, $100 an hour, whatever.
I seen Pharrell had said that he was doing that and sent Prince a bunch of records, and Prince turned them all down and was like, man, I don't want that shit. I want the shit that you're doing for Nori. That's crazy. So, but yeah, nah. Chevy, you said that you were writing for some people behind the scenes, right? So how do you approach when you were writing for other people? What's the difference between writing for yourself and writing for someone else? Like, how do you approach that? Is it a different mindset, or is it something where you just write a record and then you present it to someone? Because I seen Jay-Z was writing for like Foxy Brown and for Snoop, and when he would write for him, he would go in the booth and do a reference track, but he would do it in that person's voice. So like when he would write for Foxy, he would go in there and rap in her tone and like her, you know, like how she spit and everything, you know, say her cadence and all that stuff. So would you go that in depth, or was it something you were just writing records?
Yeah, well, I was writing records, but it was one of those like, all right, so compared to some of those artists and us being from the States, we like Jay-Z and they like Elementary. So it was easy for me to, and plus I already had a bunch of the songs already, you know, in the tuck. So, you know, I just go in there, you know, play a couple songs. They be like, oh yeah. I said, well, you can get that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, everything for sale, five passports and never going to jail, you know, that type of shit. Anyway, I was like, I'm not trying to, you know, I didn't have a passion for rapping anymore. So I was like, let me just, you know, fall back and just write. So, and the artist and the person has to be open to it. Cause you know, a lot of people don't, you know, they don't want to admit that somebody wrote something for them. But now, you know, nowadays it's cool. Back then it was like, yeah, don't let nobody know. I'm like, I don't know. I ain't worried about it. Just cut the check. I don't care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My name on it. But that kind of bit me in the ass because one of the songs kind of blew up over there. I'd rather not talk about it because.
let me find out you wrote Gangnam Style.
Oh man, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Early, it was like early 90s. Actually, it was 98. Yeah, 98. Back in 98. No limit.
Got you.
Yeah, it was a while back. So, but anyway, you know, long story short, man, just people got to be open to it, and that's another way you can kind of, you know, pretty much sell what you already made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, that's smart. Like if you have a catalog just sitting there, if you're writing a gang of songs, you know, why just let them sit there? Why not? You know what I'm saying? Try to get placements, try to sell them to other people. You know what I'm saying? Try to solicit them. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
What's another one, Bobby?
Okay. So another one is, this is, and everybody thinks of this and everybody says it, but a lot of people don't really utilize it, is YouTube. Now, YouTube is a great place to generate revenue, especially for producers, because there are so many producer channels on there to get millions of views just on the instrumentals for making tight beats, royalty-free beats, royalty-free music. And you put in, and like you can have royalty-free to use for personal and not commercial. And so if they want to use it for commercial, then they have to hit you up and ask for permission. Or if not, you can just seek the algorithm on them and it's going to ban their channel until they start paying you. But
yeah,
that's a way that a lot of producers are making money, is by creating these YouTube channels of just free instrumentals that people can download, because every time they click it, you know, and play it, you know, that's a play for you. And I've been in sessions with people who are rapping on YouTube beats, you know, they say, oh, you got some YouTube beats. But like, they don't even download the beat first. They just keep playing it on loop back and forth. They'll play the beat 100 times to write to it directly on YouTube. And it's like, oh, wow. You know, that's good money.
Yeah. But you also have to have your YouTube monetized before you can do that. You know what I'm saying? Which is a task in itself. You know what I'm saying? Like you
actually have to put the work in. It's doable. It's definitely doable. But it's something, if you're an independent artist who doesn't have a huge fan base, who doesn't have a hit record, but you make some dope beats, you know, a producer, you can definitely make instrumental playlists on YouTube as well as the TikTok and the Instagram. There was an article. I need to find that article. There was an article that said that instrumental playlists on these platforms are making more money than some regular albums because people are using them for all their videos.
Everything, yeah, for reels and all kinds of shit.
For reels, for all the TikToks, and you know, for the mixtapes, you know, for everything. And so, like, if you're a producer, you make dope beats in your bedroom, you can make a good salary on YouTube and all the social platforms, just releasing instrumental tapes, you know? And so, like, you know, there's a million ways to get it. Those are just some of the ways that you can start generating revenue as an independent artist without a hit record, without a fan base. But, so Chevy, we was talking about your Musicians Taylor LLC and, your process, the MDMP process, where you're helping musicians make the right decision process. And so you said when you first get a client and you bring them on, the first thing you do is you find out if they're serious about it, if this is a hobby or if it's for real, which is very important because you don't want to waste your time or your parents' money. The second thing, once you figure out if it's real, then you partner with them along the way. So I know you you kind of hinted on that, like, okay, we'll hit up Capo, hit up whoever. So can you elaborate on that? What does that mean when you say you partner with them along the way?
All right. So once we make a plan, or make a rollout plan. All right. So I'm gonna have my task list, things to do. And then they're gonna have their task list, things to do. So military, we build systems. So I still use certain systems where I can kind of, you know, you build a plan and just say if something don't go right, we can always go back to that system and see who didn't do what. You know what I'm saying? So that holds both of us accountable. But once we find out, okay, this is where, this is the route we're gonna go, we go ahead and start executing, taking action. And then, like I said, we there most of the time to get them to, like say, okay, I wanna release this album through an hour release party, then I wanna go hit the road. Okay, that's to be, we can kind of partner with them along the way of making all those things happen. Now, when they start coming to us like, hey, I need management, this is this, okay. We know a lot of managers. We know, oh, I need production. Okay, we go find you producers. Hey, I need a PR. Hey, go find your PR. So the process is ongoing thing. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you guys put in it, what you put in it, what you get out.
So, exactly what you that's I say it all the time, bro. But hey, so one thing stuck out to me. You said when someone says they need a manager, you say I know a lot of managers. When do you feel is the right time for an artist to need a manager? Because I feel like every artist feels like they need a manager immediately, and I don't agree with that, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
All right, so I'm gonna be honest, my cousin twin, he'll tell you, I hate that word manager. Like people be like, what you do? I'm a role. I just say, most time I just say tour manager or whatever, but I always get hit up for that. Hey man, I need a manager, this and this. You don't need a manager. Half of this shit y'all can do, excuse my language, half of this stuff
you
can do on their own. You know what I'm saying? If they don't wanna learn how to do it, or they, you know, they just, you know, looking for somebody to do everything for them. That's going back to that, making sure they serious about what we're doing. I don't think nobody need a manager until they getting booked 3-4 times a week. Or not just shows, I'm talking about like TV.
Features, stuff. Everything.
Yeah, like that's when you probably need a manager. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, you don't need a manager until you really bringing in some, you know, real income, because you got to be able to pay that person. You know what I'm
absolutely
saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean there's
a couple other people too, you know what I'm saying? So you trying to build a team, and that people do build a team if you can get people to believe in you, and you show them like, hey, I'm really serious about this, I'm, you know, I'm really ready to go in. Yeah, people will help you along the way as much as they can, but it's gonna come to a point where, okay, talking about you need a manager, you got to find somebody who really believe in you and really like gonna take that time to, you know, walk that journey with you.
I agree totally, man.
Absolutely. So Chevy, man, so okay, so I'm just breaking down this process, because you know this is very smart thing that you have going on with this MDMP, you know, how you're doing it with this whole Taylor Music thing where you're actually guiding the artist through the process. You know, you're very intelligent individual. You've been through the music business veteran, shall we say. So you got a lot of knowledge stored up.
Still learning, bro.
And we always learning. You're learning till you're earning, you know what I mean?
So
every day. So if you've seen the show before, you know we got this segment where we got to twist your arm a little bit, man. We want to test your hip-hop knowledge and play a little bit of Street Smarts trivia with you.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, this is the part of the show right here. Everybody's butt gets tight on this part, man. It's like, come on, man. I don't care.
That's right. It's Street Smarts trivia with your host, DJ Bobby Hustle and that Vato Capo.
Guaranteed to get your plug.
Man, okay. Y'all need to do voiceover.
That's Capo, the voice of the king. Like, all the drops he do, I'm like, yo, Capo, we need a new drop. We need the voice, man. Come on. Dance, we can dance. We need a voice.
I'll never get some voiceover money, man.
I've been trying to tell him, boy. That's like, that's the check, boy. You know, maybe he ain't old enough yet. Maybe when he turns 60, he might decide to do it. But anyway, back to the Street Smarts trivia, though. So
He was trying to get our mind off of that. He was trying to take us somewhere.
Right. He's good. That guy's good. Almost. But we on it. So, all right, all we're going to do is ask you a question, and all you got to do is give us an answer. All right, so the first category is hip-hop history. And the question is, what was the first hip-hop song to reach the number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart? Was it
A, My Adidas, Run DMC, B, Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang, C, Can't Touch This, MC Hammer?
I'm going to go with Rapper's Delight.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Hey! Okay. He came out swinging with the uppercut. Chip, chip, chitterucus. Okay, we got another one for you. All right, this category right here is called ID check.
Excuse me, I'm going to need to see some identification.
So we're going to reach a government name, and all you got to do is tell us who it is. And all here right. We go. My government name is Tariq Luqman Trotter.
Am I A, T-Pain, B, CeeLo Green, or C, Black Thought?
I'm going to go with C, Black Thought.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
Hey, Kimbo Slice on the trivia. Kimbo Slice on the trivia. I see you. Okay. All right, we got another for you. Capo, I think that's your favorite category.
Man, who said that shit?
Uh-oh. All right, so I'm going to read you some lyrics. All you got to do is tell us who said that shit. Easy as that. I want to be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala. Caller getting laid tonight. Swisher roll tight, got sprayed by Ike. Who said that shit?
I need my ass kicked. I don't know if it's... Little, no, y'all gonna give me the
No. Ain't no more control. You gotta know these.
Not fat.
Wanna
be a baller, shot
call.
Damn, this is my fucking song, too, man.
Is that so? What's the title of the song?
Be a baller.
I don't know, start singing it. That's the trick. Everybody knows the song, but they can't think of the person.
It's a little fat, chubby dude, man. Little T. Yeah, well, I'm gonna get my ass kicked for this. All my Texas homies I'm gonna be like, bro, really?
Oh, they in the chats going in, man. Little Chad. You were close. You were closer with the little T. All right.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead and give it to me. I'm going to take that L.
You got a 50. You got 50% on that.
What's 50%?
You got half of it.
I know the song is I Want to Be a Baller. I'm just trying to figure it. You said the name. Who said that shit?
Yeah. Who said it?
Damn,
who
that nigga
name
singing that?
All right, man. You know this song. It's on the tip of your tongue. It's your boy, Little Troy. We're going to be right back. Yeah, stay right there. Don't go nowhere.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man. That was your boy, Lil Troy, sitting down, down south. I had a little spit in my throat, and I didn't want it to dribble down my lip, so I kind of had to pick a choice, either stutter or let it dribble. So I stuttered.
No, you let it dribble.
No, but I want to be a baller.
That's what,
man,
professionals do, Bobby.
I would have, but I didn't want to just get it. Ain't nobody here to see it flying nowhere, though. But yeah, man, it's the Audio Mans, man. It's your mans and them, DJ Bobby Hustle, my Vato Capo, man. We got a special guest on the line, Chevy Rivas, man, tour manager, music business extraordinaire. He's got his company called The Musician's Tailor, where they help you build your process to becoming successful in the music business. We right
yes,
here.
Sir,
you
yes,
still
sir.
There, Chevy, man? You still there? You got your, you got to unmute your mic when we come back from the music. There you go.
Yeah,
there
man.
You go.
Yeah, nah, I'm kind of upset, man.
You got half a point, dog. Don't be upset, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. You still look, man. You got.
I used to listen to so much like Texas screw music that regular music didn't even sound good to me no more. You know, you're in the club, they playing the music all fast.
It's just sound weird.
Yeah, you know, it sound weird when you know. I like.
Yeah. I come on, man. You got 2 out of 3, man. That's good. I'm not a mathematician. I think that might be 70%. It probably lesser or more. But if you're a mathematician, you can grill me in the chat. But that's enough to get you to college, at least a community college. You know,
right? Right. But I feel you, Chevy, because my cousin was from Houston or is from Houston, and when he would pick me up, we would ride around, and all he would play was Screwed, and you know, Lil Kiki, Zero, Trey the Truth, Fat Pat, Lil Troy, all that shit, man. And it does, after a while, after you listen to it so much, after a while, it when you listen to music, normal music, that shit sounds funny to you. It's like it sounds like something's wrong or like it's too fast. Yeah.
I'm gonna say, you know, they called me Chevy. Hell, I had two Impala. Shit. Well, I got one, so I'm like,
what year's the Impala, man?
One I got now, 2013, but I had an 08 and I
bubble
working on that 6.4 getting out.
That's a good one.
My dream one is a 96 SS.
Okay, yeah, that's the bubble. Yeah, the 2013s when they got a little compact.
Yeah, that's front wheel drive. That ain't really Impala. They call it Wimpala.
Wimpala. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, but it bubbles.
Front wheel drive, man. I'll keep it clean.
Yeah, everybody wanted that right. Bubble, the SS. Yeah, man. That was
he said I keep it clean.
You got the police chip in it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That was the thing. They put the police chip in it.
No, it do got the Arctic pack it on. I bought it in Alaska, so it got, you know, it's winterized and all. It got the Arctic pack on it, so
man. And that's one thing, Chevy, like I see you, like I said, traveling across the country everywhere. Now tell me, what's this thing that you got going on with the push-ups, right? So you're doing videos of yourself in like every city across the country doing push-ups in front of the camera. What's the purpose behind this?
All right, so like I said, once again, I'm a 21 year Army vet. I've been in Iraq, I've been in Afghanistan, multiple deployments. So a lot of soldiers and civilians, yeah, might as well say artists too. A lot of people have mental health problems, but I don't have a mental health problem. I just got TBI and PTSD, but. I live with that. It's just part of what it is. Nothing wrong with that. TBI, traumatic brain. I was a paratrooper, so I used to jump out of planes for a living.
Yeah.
Did a lot of that. Been in a lot of explosions, concussions, and things of that nature. A lot of firefights. So my hearing's not too well either. So, you know, it's a lot of that. So a lot of TBI, a lot of PTSD, a lot of people are dealing with that. So mental health, we all have to keep an eye on that. I mean, I don't care if you've been to war or not.
Right.
With that trauma is going to deal with you.
Mm.
So with war, you know what I'm saying? You go to war, touch war, it's going to touch you back in some kind of way. So if you lived in the hood, you was in the street, a lot of people got shot. They don't realize they got PTSD after that. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't deal with your mental health and work on that, it's gonna control the rest of your body. You know what I'm saying? So if you focus on the brain and get that mental health right, you know, a lot of people depressed, you know, and I can kind of see it because I done had to deal with it with my soldiers and, you know, deal with family members and close friends. I can kind of tell when they're going through a slump, this and this. That's where, you know, we're doing a push up state to state to kind of bring awareness, like, hey, man, go get yourself checked. Go talk to somebody. The help is there. You know what I'm saying? Every military post I've been to, and a lot of my friends, a lot of people have taken their own life. You know what I'm saying? I've been to probably more memorials on that than, I take that back. I've been to a lot of memorials of some of our soldiers taking their life. You know what I'm saying? So creating that awareness, and just trying to do my part on that. I can't fix the world, but I can do my small part on that.
Absolutely. That's all it takes. It's just you doing your one small part. Let me ask you this, real quick, as a soldier, man, what do you think about this new rideshare service where they have the armed drivers? You think that's like overkill, or do you think that's something that people should take advantage of?
They got the what?
Oh, you ain't heard about it? So there's a new rideshare service that you can book an armed driver to drive you around, and he's got a gun, and he can be your personal security armed driver. It's called Wolf Ride, Black Wolf Ride. It's a ride sharing app, Black Wolf, and a lot of ex-military guys. They just launched in New York, and it's coming, you know, everywhere. But basically, you know, you get an armed security guard dude to drive you around like you're the president. Instead of getting the Uber, you get a armed security guy.
So it's like Uber Black plus plus or something?
Something like that. I guess you could say that.
Uber Black Ops.
Right.
That's cool, Cabo. Yeah, right. That was my first time hearing that. Then you say in New York, you know, the gun laws are crazy. So I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. I never heard of that, but I think for the right people, the right people, I think that's probably good, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He said for the right people.
For the right people.
You gotta think about this though, man. So that's another thing when it comes to our musician tag thing. Security and safety is our number one priority. So when I'm on the road, safety first on everything. And I can tell you, unless you experience, you can't drive and shoot at the same time. You know, so I don't know how that's gonna work. If you know you got armed security, I get it. But what's it gonna do if you're behind the wheel? You know what I'm saying? And trying to drive and maneuver and shoot at the same time.
He's gonna turn the pistol sideways like Menace to Society.
Let's say they gonna have a driver and a shooter? And you know,
well, they say they got a bodyguard who's the driver, and he's armed. He's also a trained bodyguard. And you know, with the surge of violent crimes and active shooters, and everybody wanting to feel like a VIP, you know, this just another way to get more money out of people, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it sounds good, and it may work for the right.
They said we got 15 cars here in Atlanta. We got 15 of them here in Atlanta.
15. I'm glad you said. I'm gonna do some research on that. I'm interested in seeing how that work. Definitely.
He said definitely. I want to see how that shit work, because that just sounds interesting.
You got an armed security, but like I say, they're only going to be probably effective if they outside the vehicle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Facts. Facts. So
I think they're just trying to
figure out more ways to get money, man. Like, everybody's just trying to figure out more ways to get money, upcharge. You know what I'm saying? A normal ride that might cost $50 now costs $250 because you have an armed security guard in the car or someone that's armed that can drive with you, which to me is still kind of crazy. But, you know, back to the topic of the day, man, is we were talking about the money and how artists can generate income. And we were talking about, well, we didn't mention it yet, but Lil Baby, someone was opening up for Lil Baby. They bought on to the show, sold a bunch of tickets, and they said they made $500,000 off of booking Lil Baby and flipping it, right? Turning it around. And this is something that I think artists, I've done it with several artists, where artists will take their own money, invest, and play the promoter on a show. and book talent and make themselves the opening act. And if the show sells good, now they've generated their investment back, but they've also got hella promotion. They got to perform and open up for this major artist and get in front of that crowd. And depending how well you work it, you can walk away with a database as well if you're in control of, you know, ticket sales and stuff like that. How do you feel about that?
That's the point I was getting to, the hard ticket sale. Mm-hmm. That's important. That's important to build that brand. Because, you know, a lot of people, they get hot, they go get that brown paper bag, you know what I'm saying? But they can't sell a hard ticket. So if you can prove that you can sell a hard ticket, then, you know, you're going to be in the game for a minute.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And most of these, and that's a huge issue right now, is that there's a lot of these artists that are blowing up on social media, but when it comes to the hard ticket sales, they're not able to do what they do on social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not, it's no, there's no transition, you know?
Followers don't equate to followers.
I see it all the time, man. Like I say, nothing wrong with it. Just, you gotta kind of like coach them to be like, hey man, you gotta do this right here, because ain't no way you should have all these followers and not be able to sell two pieces of merch, or have them, you know, downloading your music or streaming your music, or have a list of monthly listeners on all the platforms.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. You had mentioned something about artists not wanting to do the work, right? Like, they're with the aspect of looking cool, and, you know, doing what it takes to, they want to play that role of the artist, but they don't want to do the work that it actually takes to generate income from being an artist. Like, focusing your energy on promoting one platform, you know, like I tell artists all the time, like, hey, we have a week, right? Let's take one day and promote a link to nothing but Spotify. And then let's take, you know, another day of nothing but YouTube, or even a week long, where all we do is take our energy and put it all into one platform, just YouTube or Spotify, Apple Music. And a lot of the artists are like, I don't want to be promoting the same thing all week. And, you know, or, you know, we'll have a rollout planned out on how to promote their stuff on, for a campaign and through their social media, but I don't want to post this picture on my page because, you know, it doesn't fit, or I don't want to mess up how my feed looks. And there's a lot of that where artists do that, man, or they don't want to get out there and hustle. Like you were talking about the merch, that's a great way to generate income, but a lot of these artists are too proud to get out there and try to sell their own shit. But at the end of the day, if you're not excited about your own merch, your own music, your own content, what the fuck makes you think that anyone else is going to be excited about it?
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Y'all played a couple of people that I don't been on the road with. I've been on, you know, of course, I've been on the road with Scotty ATL. My first tour when I got out of the military was with Scotty ATL and Spody. So that's a coincidence. Y'all playing.
Oh, vocal. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Spody had that going in song. And, you know, of course, Scotty had a lot of songs. I tell you a lot about Scotty, man. That guy, my hat is always off to him. I salute him all the time, because one thing he showed me is that when we go to these shows, he don't care if it's one person, 10 people in the crowd. He gonna do his full set. Mm-hmm. Then last thing he gonna say before we get out there, and we established this together because I was selling the merch for him. I say, bro, last thing you need to say when you got this stage, meet me at the merch table. And yep. They meet him at the merch table. You want a picture? You gotta buy some merch. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's how you do it. That's, you know, and, but, you know what I'm saying? And Scotty has reached success by doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been consistent over the years, and he's never been afraid to promote whatever he's doing, whether it's grills, whether it's live performances, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's never afraid to promote himself. And I think a lot of these artists get in their own way because their ego is too big to let them get out there and act like they need support. they want to act like they've already got it, what they need. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You seen it, of course. I know you seen the capo with Starlito and Don Tripp. Like, when they get off stage, where they go to? To the merch table.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They take pictures with everybody. They you know what I'm saying, shake hands with everybody who came to the show. So,
as you should.
That's the extended part of it. A lot of people get off stage, they go backstage and they don't want to contact nobody or touch the flesh or meet the fans or anything like that.
I've literally seen artists walk off stage and have the security walk them straight from the stage to their bus and leave. that's just been like, damn.
You know, they used to say Tupac, when he got off stage, he would go back around through the front door and come in like a regular person and just kick it a little bit.
that sounds like some Pac shit.
But I mean, you know, that's real.
That's crazy you say. I believe that, because Currency do the same thing to this day.
Yeah,
like, walk through the crowd and go by his merch table, you know, and of course everybody trying to get at him, but like I say, he's trying to draw you to what his biggest draw is, his music and his merch. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and we worked with all of them.
It's always work. It's always something to promote and always something to bring the fans to. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and not only that, is like when you have that personal interaction with a fan, they walk away being even a bigger fan. Like, they may have just liked your music before, but when they get that picture, they get to talk to you for even if it's a minute, they walk away like, damn, that shit was fucking dope. And all of a sudden the next morning they wake up, they're still high off that meeting, and all of a sudden they're streaming all your shit, watching your videos, telling other people about how great it was, and then they get other people excited, man. That's how you do it.
That's how you got to do it. That's how fan bases are built.
That same, you're right, Hustle. That same thing that you just said too, even with him, the way Larry June is right now. When I first met Larry June, we was on the Karate Garage tour in Dallas. That was my first time hearing. But I didn't get the music, but I saw his marketing, his branding. That I always remembered. I was like, man, what did he do with all the oranges and shit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Larry's dope, but at the same time, he's not like the greatest rapper ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he, like you said, his marketing is what intrigues people. The way he carries himself, the way he delivers it, and he turns you into a believer. Like I was just saying before, you have to make the fans excited about it. You can't be, you have to control that narrative and make them feel the same way you feel about your shit. So if you post your shit once and that's it, and you don't give a fuck about it no more, it's like, why should I give a fuck about it?
Right.
That's what I tell a lot of artists. It's like, there's this thing called the give a fuck meter that you have to raise for your brand, because there's so much stuff out there, you have to get people to give a fuck about yours. So it's like, where is your meter at?
Hey, Hustle Cabo, how many times have you had somebody say, hey, man, hey, repost my stuff? So what I do, I go to their page and see if they repost it, and they have, or they really haven't been posted. So I'm like,
right,
you want me to repost it? I ain't got a lot of followers. I don't need a lot of followers. I know I got followers in real life. You the one need it. So why are you not?
He said, you the one that need it.
Yeah. I don't need followers. I know people in real life. But why are you not, you know, reposting it and putting your stuff up on a daily basis? Like y'all was talking about earlier. But that goes back to the lead work and doing the extras. So
So the moral of the story is you have to do the work. Whether you got 10 fans or 100,000 fans, the work never stops. You just got to do a little bit more in the beginning before you can get on that little smooth coast.
Right. Definitely.
Absolutely. 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 So, you know, with your process that you were saying with your through your company, you said you find them, make sure they know if they're serious about their career, and if they are, then you partner with them along the way to kind of help them define and make the correct decisions. And then the budget, you said. So me and Copper, we have this conversation a lot, and we bring this up. From your experience, Chevy, what do you think is most important when you're dealing with your clients, talent or budget?
It got to be the talent first.
Okay.
I got to be interested. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not all about the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to generally, like, make me a believer. You know what I'm saying? Cause I don't want to work with somebody I don't believe in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's just real talk. You know what
that's
saying?
The worst.
I like you. Cause if I don't, you know, you don't like somebody, or you don't, I ain't say I like them, you're just not interested in them. You're going to make poor decision for them. You're going to get them like, I don't, what you call that meter again?
Give a fuck meter. I always tell people, like, if I have to work with an artist that I don't like I'm doing this, I'm in this line of work, so I don't have to work a regular job and do shit that I don't want to do. Right. So if I have to work with an artist that I don't like and I don't appreciate their music and I can't relate to it, I'm not feeling it, and I don't enjoy doing it, then I might as well go get a regular fucking job because I'm doing the same shit. You know what I'm saying? And I have to believe in it, man. It has to be one of those things where if we connect and I believe in it and I can feel it, and then we can go all the way with it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You just said the most important thing on this call. Your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Your freedom to maneuver. That's
oh yeah.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. That's why I haven't got a regular job. As I got in the military, I said, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not, I gotta have my freedom. So I feel you on that, bro.
And that's baby, what it's all about.
Who you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So goes back to the phase, because I'm not finna let no 20, I don't care who it is, I'm not finna let nobody stress me out. You know what I'm saying? That's just facts. You know what I'm saying? Especially no younger artists, like, bro, really? Nah, I got a son, so I'm good.
Facts. He's like, nope, ain't nothing stressing me out from here, man. I'm good.
Yeah, because you get to like that's the beauty of like hip hop and the music industry. Like if you play it right, you set it all right, you really, you know, can, you know, live your best life how you want it. You know what I'm saying? You can dictate. Mm-hmm. It's a million jobs and things you can do out here in this music industry to make money. And I know that's the main topic we'll be talking about, but you know, if you study it and find a need, like we know artists need development. It just, a lot of artists don't want development. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They see, okay, damn, he blew up overnight, isn't it? Did, but they don't have a solid foundation. That's only gonna last for maybe a couple of months, and then here come 30,000 more artists. You know what I'm saying? By the push away. So, yeah, building that solid foundation and growing and teaching these artists the right way. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, because when we gone, we still want hip hop to live, you know?
Right
people in those spaces. We need more Capo. We need more DJ Hustle. We need, you know, people like myself or whatever to keep this thing going. If we ain't teaching the next generation, they're just going to die. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well Dang. Said.
Right? Well said. Man. Round of applause for that. That's real shit. Oh. Ask and you shall receive.
You shall receive. Okay, Chevy. So, you know, you dropping some gems here. So, got a question for you. This is a question we asked a lot of our guests. We got a couple heavy questions. So, with your tenure in the business, everything that you've done, all the people that you've worked with, everything that you've learned up until now, for your company and your brand, what do you feel is missing that you're lacking or that you need to go from where you are to where you see that it could be in the future?
That's a good question. Like I say, it's still in development. Like even like myself, I'm still in development. Like we say, we still learning. So it's not really a need. It just staying healthy and being able to do this. You know what I'm saying? And continue to, like, what I do most of the time, I have a lot of great mentors that's certified in this industry. So I get the information from them, I bring it back to us. And then everything is a constant development. Like, everything is a constant growth. So, end goal and what I need, it just, like I say, more opportunities. And that's too easy. All I have to do is go lead a house and I find opportunity to help come back and
Oh no. It was the man, he was dropping the gym and I think he's buffering. He's still buffering. He's spinning.
He had to turn around and smack someone.
Smackdown. But yeah, so okay. I mean, like you said, Chevy Revis is definitely a talented individual when it comes to this business of music and working with artists and what he's offering. I can tell just from our conversation with him, you gotta hit that unmute button again, that it's he's passionate about what he does.
Facts.
Not sure what's going on with my phone, but
it's smartphones acting dumb. It's nothing new.
Yeah, AT&T better get their shit together.
Oh yeah, got them.
That's it. But yeah, Chevy. I mean, man, we appreciate you tapping in with us, man, joining us today. You know, everything that you're doing from you know the music business side to even the mental, mental awareness, trying to get people healthy and, you know, strong mentally and suicide awareness. I lost my brother in 99 to suicide. So I appreciate it when someone, takes the initiative to build this awareness, man, and continue to support people that need that help. So man, salute to you. We thank you for joining us, man. Please let the people know where they can find you, how they can get at you, and what's some stuff that you can do for them if need be.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. You follow me on all platforms, Chevy Revis, of course, the company, Musician Taylor, LLC. I drop everything in the notes. What was the last thing? What was the last part? my TBI kicking in. What was the last part?
It was a lot, bro. But no, just let them know if there's anything specific that artists or industry professionals might be looking for that you can provide them with. Just let them know what it is that you can help them with.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like I said, I'm a road warrior, man. So anything dealing with going on the road, like I'm not the best guy to be in the studio picking the right record for you. I thought I wanted to be an A&R because I really seen what they do. So I was like, nah, I'm just be a road guy. So anything dealing with the road, connecting people, taking people, walking them in the buildings and certain like that, I got you. And most important, like I say, it's not really about the money most of the time, unless we're trying to, it depends on the end goal. But most of the time, you can just call me or you can inbox me. Hey, man, can you help me do this? Can you give me some advice on this? That's too easy. Them freebies. Mm. You know? Like, I half of my relationships are from helping people, you know, for free. Teach, coaching, and mentoring and giving advice. My blessings come from that. So that's why I always get picked to go here, here, and here. You know what I'm saying?
That's real, dog. Because I'm kind of the same way. Like, I get a lot of people that, you know, you hear that old saying, the game is to be told or to be sold, not told. Wow. And I kind of believe the opposite. I'm one of those guys, like, if it's not going to cost me anything or it's not going to take too much of my time and all you need is a little bit of direction, or if I've burnt my hand on that stove before or hit my head on that and I can prevent you from doing it, and you don't have to pay me, man. It's like, I can just tell you what to do. It's not going to hurt me to do that shit. Now, if you want me to go spend some time and work and help you and do this, that, and the other, then that's a different story. Now we're talking about time spent in the, you know, that's taken away from me generating income in other places. But for a little bit, for us to share some knowledge, that's what we all have to do with each other, man, is just continue to help each other grow and learn daily so that we can keep growing. And like you said before, we can keep this thing alive, this culture prospering further, even after we're gone.
Each one teach one. You already know.
Y'all platform is one of those ones. You know what I'm saying? So,
man, we appreciate that.
People got to want the information, bro. Like, it's out there. Y'all giving out. All they have to do is download the app, right?
That's it.
That's it. And tune in. No, they got to download the app and tune in.
Tune in, right. And you get gain. Like, I learned something in this conversation from y'all. I learned something from Woo, my brother John Woo conversation.
Oh yeah, John Woo, the man.
All these folks, like he personally, when I was in Kentucky in the military, that man, he took me and introduced me to everybody I need to know in Kentucky.
Okay, so that's how you guys met. That's dope.
Right. Yeah. I met him through my business partner, my cousin, twin. So that's why I say keeping strong relationship, a lot of people don't know how to do that. You know what I'm saying? Me and these guys, we've been kicking it for the last over 20 years.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's dope.
Right.
Yeah. You got to keep those relationships, man, especially in this business. It's about who you know more than what you know, you know?
Dollar bills and handshakes, baby.
Say that again, bro.
Dollar bills and handshakes, baby.
Right. Say it again, because I'm telling you, man, a lot of these guys, they don't know how to, and I guess I ain't going to say they weren't raised the way to keep strong relationships with friends, but they let memes and the new record out be like, I don't need no new friends. I don't need nobody. I could do it by myself. All right, go ahead and do it.
Man, but not only is that counterproductive, but damn, what just a horrible way to live, man. Like, yeah. Damn, that's, I don't want to do it by myself. Yeah, that's a sad motherfucker, doc. Like, you don't want to meet no one. You don't want to connect with no one. Like, you know how big this world is? You know how many fucking people are out here? And you don't want to meet no one else but the people that you've known your whole fucking life? Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Come on.
You know that's all fluff, man.
Yeah, fluff.
Yeah, I know y'all get the interview. Hey, man, I ain't got no cosign. I do everything on my own. Okay.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
Yeah, it's gonna get cold out there, bro.
Sorry for you, better bring your coat.
Oh, you forgot it?
Yeah, everybody needs somebody. You know what I'm saying?
That's real. Oh, wait, except player fly.
Yeah.
Nobody need nobody.
Right. They be like, listen, man, and also check in with them. Just check in with somebody, man, when you travel.
That's it, man. That's real, dog. And we appreciate your time. And not only do we appreciate your time, thank you for your service, my man. It means a lot to us, dog.
Appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all, man. I'll definitely send you a list of people y'all need to get on here, because this is a dope platform.
Man, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And make sure next time you got anything new comes up, we're always here, man. Just a call away. Chime in. Hit us up. Come back.
I'll be in the comments for sure, man. For sure.
Let's get it, man. We appreciate you, homie.
That's your boy, Chevy Rivas, man. Music Taylor, let's go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man, that's that Millie's, man. It's your boys, DJ Bobby Hustle, that Vato Capo. It's the Audio Meds, man. That was your boy, Chevy Rivas, man. Definitely a dope person, man. He's somebody you definitely need to know if you're in the music business, man. So make sure you tap in with him, bro. Tap in with him.
Yes, 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 man. Yeah, dog. Tuesday, Thursday already, 8:30 p.m. Central, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do this shit twice a week.
We here.
What y'all doing? But nah, we appreciate everyone tapping in with us. All the people that jumped in the chats, commenting, everybody that hit us up. It means a lot to us, man. This is what we do it for. We love to hear what you guys got to say. We love talking and discussing all these interesting topics with our fellow friends within this industry. Man, dog, it's good, man. So we'll be back Tuesday, right?
Absolutely. Tuesday, just like you said, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We here. You know, we do it, man. But before we get out of here, we got one more guest that, man, I've been waiting all day for this person.
Boop. Boop. Yeah, paging Dr. Cabo. Paging Dr. Cabo.
Right, you know what it is. That shit never gets old, bro. All right, you know what time it is, man. If you listen to the show, you know that every dose of audio meds, we got to hit you with a prescription before you get out of here. So it's Thursday, you're going into the weekend, I'm gonna hit you with a prescription for a warrior. Okay, this comes from an old Indian warrior proverb, or I should say Native American. Be strong when you are weak. Be brave when you are scared. Be humble when you are victorious.
That's the way we move. Say that again. Say that again.
Be strong when you are weak.
Mm-hmm.
Be brave when you are scared.
Mm-hmm.
And be humble when you are victorious.
Mm-hmm. Especially that last one, boy.
That last one, that one is the one that hits. that shit hits hard.
It does. And with that being said, it is the Audio Meds, and we definitely love each and every one of you. And until next time, we will see you then.
A rato.
Audio Meds, they're good for you.